Welcome back to the Wavy Podcast. I'm your host, Gemma Mastriani, and today here I have with me Briston Maroney. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Of course, yeah. Super stoked to have you here. I discovered Briston recently just on Spotify. I was listening to some songs during my workday. And you know when you like finish a playlist on Spotify and it kind of just starts matching you up with, you know, songs that are a fit for you based off of what you were listening to. That's how I discovered him and just fell in love with his stuff instantly. So, he was gracious enough to answer my DM and join me on the show today. And couldn't be happier to have you here.
Oh, dude, thank you. I'm so glad you stumbled into it like that. That's awesome.
Of course.
That is one of the things that Spotify does well. It definitely can help you just like walk into random stuff that can connect with where you're at the right time.
Yeah, no, it's been one of the best ways for me to find new music. But before we get into it, I would love if you could just give the audience a bit of an introduction on yourself.
My name is Briston Maroney. I live in Nashville, Tennessee. I've lived in a couple different places the past few years, but this has been basically home. I am 22. I love my life. I love my friends. Have you seen that video of the little girl that gets really excited about her life and starts listing the things that she loves?
I haven't, but need to see it now.
She goes, I love my house. I love my hair. I love my Allison. I love my mom. And she's like punching the air while she does it. That's how I feel right now.
It's about the little things. Job.
It is. It really is. Yes. I did not do a good job of that. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, it's genuine, right?
I'm trying to be.
Could you maybe tell us a bit about the music you make?
I love making music. It's my favorite thing to do. I have always had a passion for writing songs, and I think it's the best way for me to express who I am. As I've gotten older and older, I've realized that I think I have always known who I am as a person. And part of realizing that is realizing what I don't know how to say to people, just in conversation. And so songs have always been my way of getting to do that and communicating that at a level that I don't usually tap into super naturally sometimes. So it's definitely a language to me of getting to, that sounds so lame. That sounds very much not real because that's
it sounds like something like I would find like scrolling through Tumblr like 4 years ago.
Music is a language. Do you name the episodes? Can it be called Music is My Language?
I can do like quotations. Music is my language - Briston Maroney.
And then you can put.
Yeah. And we can do like a beach background.
Then you can say fuck Briston Maroney. That would be awesome.
Like we can make the cover of it like a beach background. Prop you walking on the beach.
I don't know. I'm not great at like copyright stuff, but we could just use like a Tame Impala album cover and then just leave it as that. And I'd be willing to take the legal fees in order to get the point across that music is my language.
Okay, noted. Perfect. Because I'm not paying for that.
Okay,
that's
sweet.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Just let me know.
Getting back on track. I totally feel you. I'm one of those people too, except I don't write it. I'm more so I'm like, oh, this song like explains how I'm feeling about this situation and whatever. And that's why I feel so connected to music. I wish I could like write it and play it, but
sure.
Just not quite there yet. With that being said, how would you describe the genre of your music?
I think I'm influenced by a lot of stuff, so it's like it would be hard for me. I'm inspired by people from a lot of different genres specifically of music. I think it's definitely kind of shifted as I've gotten more into or just developed as far as like songwriting goes. But I think we might have to go with like alternative because I think it is a good blanket for all the stuff that I am trying so hard to imitate and do.
Can you tell me a bit about your journey with music? When was it something that you got into?
I started playing very young. I was like 11 or 12 when my grandpa gave me my first guitar and he taught me how to play. Maybe I was even younger than that. I was younger than that. But he taught me how to play that song, Louie Louie. And I played it for like 5 hours straight until I got a blister on my thumb. And then I had a crisis because I'd never had that happen. And I thought that that was like going to be the end of my life. Like I thought this bump on my finger is going to eat me alive or something. And so that's where I realized in that moment of fear and terror that I had just done the thing I love to do for a whole day. And I didn't really want to change that. So my dad's side of the family always played. So I was around it a ton. And it just quickly became like my way of, so much of it had to do with identity and just opportunity to learn how I wanted to carry myself was just through music. I've played a lot of shows when I was in high school and early college and stuff. And those were just like, like I said before, fuck, I'm going to say it again. It was like a language that like allowed me to learn a lot about people and about life.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And then when did you start doing it as something full time?
I didn't get to do music full time and like leave my restaurant jobs until last year. So it's only been it's crazy. I think, I guess it's been a little over a year since I left the beloved service industry, and I miss it. Damn it. I have tried during this quarantine period to get a job cooking somewhere because I would be super cautious. I'm very cautious about safety precautions in these times and I love to cook. And so, I've been doing it full time for like a year. That's all I needed to say. Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's super interesting. I feel that sometimes I want to go back to the service industry as well. I loved.
Oh, did you work in restaurants?
Yeah, I did. I was a server at IHOP.
Whoa, no way.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. That's so cool.
That wasn't my favorite service industry job. that's for sure.
Yeah.
I honestly loved working at McDonald's more than that, to be honest.
Oh, that's cool. What did you do there?
I just did like service. So like, the window, cashing people out. I did the French fries. Yeah.
That is crazy. Oh, that's awesome.
But sometimes we just like as much as I love what I do now, sometimes you just miss like the simplicity of that and like shift work and,
every week
kind of not being the same and stuff. But I guess it wouldn't really be like that with you. So I guess shifting into this being something full time is still something that's a bit of like a shock? Is it like you kind of wake up and it's like, whoa, I can't believe this is my life? Like what is that like?
Yeah, I mean 100% terrifying every day when I realize that this is my like quote unquote what my parents would refer to as like my job, you know? So
yeah,
it is totally a strange thing and like changed my relationship with music like so much. It's for the first time for there to be pressure, you know. And in this last year I've like really struggled at times to balance that, but luckily, I feel like I've entered a new phase where I'm just like realizing that I needed music when I started doing this and I still do. It's just like people will convince you that you need it for reasons that you may not and that you need it for them or that you need it, you know, for whatever. But like I've been so thankful that in the stresses of this year, I just very organically have been able to like turn back the just fucking loving music. And like, it has truly been so important to me during this time. And writing has become so much more of a medicinal thing again. I'm just super thankful for that. But to answer your question though, yeah, it's definitely different and scary at times.
So when you talk about it being like scary and, you know, you talk about it now being medicinal once again, would you say maybe that, you know, once it did become something full-time, you felt more of a pressure as in like, this isn't just a hobby and like, you know, you're writing to, you know, make an income off of that. So maybe you felt like, have you ever felt pressure to sort of fit into the radio waves or like, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is that like kind of how it felt?
Totally. That's definitely a big part of it. I think it was almost more being told to feel that way and feeling pressure that I was down to try that. I was down to like want certain things that other people were asking me to want, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think I felt the pressure the whole time that I was like, uh-oh, every time I do one of these things, I don't like how it feels. Like I don't enjoy that. And like, I felt the pressure to be like really willing and able because the record labels gave me an opportunity and these managers and the booking agents and stuff, they've given me their time. And I obviously like want to respect that. So I want to be this thing that will work for them. You know what I mean? And so there's definitely a pressure to like try to be a specific thing for the benefit of others. And it's very hard. Uh-huh. There's a lot of like identity crisis of being like, oh shit, I think I'm maybe just still a kid who likes to play music. And like, I want to be true to that. I want to be honest to that. And like, that may come at the cost of like disappointing certain expectations. So the pressure to upkeep that on top of just, the pressure to make music that like you're being told by record labels is going to be heard by the world. You know what I mean? So like you need to like keep that in mind when writing a song. I feel like that's such a crazy thing to do if it's not your idea to do.
Yeah. You know? Have you ever written, like in your experience so far as a signed artist, like have you written a song maybe and then like brought it to management and they said like, you know, no, this isn't like going to be a bop or like this isn't fit in with what we see as a hit?
The bop. The legendary bop. I didn't start saying that word until recently.
Me too, so but I can't stop saying it.
If I say it a lot, it's because I'm trying to convince the whole world that I'm it's comfortable for me. But yeah, dude, for sure. I mean, I'm very thankful for the people I work with. They're all very, if there's ever criticism, it's super constructive and they trust me a lot. Which is, you know, it like totally should be that dynamic between an artist and the team. I mean, you know, but like, yeah, there have definitely been moments where it's been like, that has been brought up. It's never been like critical to the point of like, this isn't good or like, this is bad. You know what I mean? Not that I think everything I do is good. That sounded so terrible. But yeah, there's definitely been moments where it's like, well, we don't know if this is, you know, why don't you try to get in and write one more and see if we can get one for radio? Or like, it's strange to just submit a batch of songs and be like, man, here's, you know, the story of the past 6 months of my life. And then the response is, this is great, so stoked, you know, we love this one and this one, we feel like this one's gonna be great for radio. And it's like, oh man, I wasn't even thinking about that, and now I have to kind of like critique my diary on what this will do for radio or just like mass numbers of people or something.
I couldn't imagine like the pressure of that. You know, props to you, and you know what?
I don't.
Hey, your new song's coming out. They sound great, so you're doing something right.
Thank you. That's very, very sweet. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Thanks for listening.
Of course. You know, with all that said, I'm sure there's so many benefits to getting this sort of exposure and being able to work with big industry professionals, because you've probably been able to learn a lot in some amazing people.
Holy crap! Yeah, it's been insane. It's been so cool to meet some of my heroes and have people. The coolest experiences I've had have been some of my heroes telling me to either open my eyes to see what I'm doing wrong or to chill the fuck out. It's been really awesome. That was a very common theme within making the record. I feel like the producer who is like a big hero of mine, his name's John Congleton. He like such a common theme of me getting so fucking worked up and just like in my head and without even really saying it aloud, him being like, you're gonna be all right, cowboy, like just calm down. And it was like, yeah, that's been one of my favorite parts of just this past year, are just seeing people that I look up to live healthily and peacefully and benefit from that, and like just learning that from experience, the importance of that.
Wonderful. So moving on, I saw that you were on the lineup to play Digital Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
So were you scheduled like for the actual festival?
Dude, we were.
Yes, oh, man.
Sadly, I know. My heart was freaking broken.
What an experience that would have been.
Oh, my gosh. I know. You're telling me. Being from Tennessee, it's like even more sacred.
Yeah.
I was very honored that they would let me be a part of that. But the virtual thing was still so fun, and we got to film some really cool stuff.
Yeah, what was that like? I'd love to hear more about that experience.
It was really odd to begin with. It was like, I guess it didn't hit me until we were there doing it that like, I was like, crap, this is how my first Bonnaroo experience is being had 100 miles away from Bonnaroo in a studio, with the beard. Like, it was just like so very surreal. And then to watch it, my roommate and I took some really funny pictures of, like, I was gonna post them but I didn't, but of me just sitting on the couch in like sweatpants, like shirtless, eating Cheerios out of the box, just being like, Bonnaroo was so great this year, we had an awesome time. Because it, you know, it's just so weird. It's so fucking weird.
Yeah.
Do you usually go? Do you go typically?
I don't. I haven't been yet. Oftentimes, well, what I've been doing is going to Oceaga every year, which is based in Montreal.
Yeah, I've always looked at the lineup for that. That looks so awesome.
Yeah, it's like it's like one of the best festivals in the country for sure.
Are you based out of Montreal?
No, I'm based out of Toronto.
Okay, cool.
I love Montreal, though. Like, if I was fluent in French, I would 100% live there. I think it's way nicer.
But, really? That's
awesome. Yeah. The architecture is stunning. It's just like less busy, and I don't know. I just like it better. Moral of the story. However, I did want to go to Bonnaroo this year if it was going to be happening in the fall. Yeah. I've heard really good things. Like, first of all, I like that it's like, it's 4 days. Second of all, it sounds like a bit more laid back and goes a bit later into the night. It just sounds cool. And whenever it is happening again, I would really like to get out to that festival.
Yeah, dude, me too. Maybe we'll bump into each other. Our crews will meet up for sure.
Yeah, that would be dope. Have you been?
I have never been before. No, I've never been, but I've heard the same things.
Yeah.
It just seems so community oriented and just like, you're just always seeing people that you know and or just making new friends all the time, and just seems really, really cool.
Yeah, I would also really love to camp because I went to Way Home, which is, I'm not sure if you've heard of that festival.
No, I don't know that one.
It only went on for, I think, like 3 to 4 years. I think it might have just been 3. I could be wrong though. Anyway, it's in Oro Medonte, which is like, sounds really random because it is.
Not real thing. That's
it's like in the country, just outside of Toronto.
Nice.
But I camped out at that festival and
That's so awesome.
Met so many amazing people, had such a good time. So I would really love to do that again. I think
that's so cool.
And it's like when you're camping at a festival, you're just like not worried about your makeup and your outfits so much. It's just chill and like
absolutely. Yeah. I was so ready to just like go all out. I wanted glitter all over my freaking face. I wanted to be in the element.
Okay, yeah, you totally understand that. glitter, makeup, everything. But no, like when you're camping, you're just not so focused on that stuff, and that stuff is fun, but it's just two different vibes. And
absolutely,
I'd love to get back into the camping chill vibes. I do want to chat about your new releases. So you've got two new songs, Freeway and Deep Sea Diver.
Oh yeah.
So which one do you want to talk about first?
I don't know. Which one do you want to talk about? Thank you for listening to them and knowing them both. That's very, very kind.
Of course. That. Yeah. No, I was waiting for them to drop. I was stoked. Let's go with Freeway. So let's go with Freeway. Another highway related song.
I know. What's this guy's deal, right? He loves the freaking road. He's got a
problem. Was that purposefully?
No, sadly it wasn't. I wish that it had been some cool business move, but no, it was just fresh on the mind at the time. Those are both, that song is a little bit older too, so I think I was writing.
That's what you want us to think.
Yeah, for sure.
Typical PR. No,
yeah, totally.
Sorry.
My calculated ass, dude. I couldn't plan some shit out like that if I tried.
No, but I would love to hear, you know, about the lyrical aspects of this song. I'd love to know about the production process. How long did it take to record? Where did you record it? All that.
I got to write that song with a guy named Dan Wilson in LA. That one was a quick one. It just like came out that day. I finally got to have like this like rock doc moment where I woke up with like some of the words in my head, and then I had to write that day. And it was like my last day of this writing trip, and it all came together, and it was like super fun. And he's just like an awesome dude. So it was really cool to bring that in and it was fun to share. But yeah, I mean, like I was saying earlier, that was the first song I released that I'd released in a while, and it was in the midst of a lot of social change. So it was that song for me quickly became like kind of a cool experience to realize the depth and the importance of being intentional in releasing music right now and as an artist. And that song is personal, and it's about a story that is happening in my life, and it may not be the most important overlying narrative, but if it, you know, if that's got to be my vessel to like let people know that I'm around and that they can talk to me as friends and as people, just, you know, for anyone from any walk of life or any story, then that song allowed me to come to terms with that, like I still have a job to do as an artist, in inclusivity and willingness to take in anyone who finds comfort in those songs.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Can you speak to the technical aspect at all? I'd like to ask about gear for my audience's sake. Although it's not something I understand, I know it's something that's appreciated from the people who are into making music.
I can, and I most of it will be me lying and making things up because I don't really know a whole lot about what we use. I don't know if it's shocking. I don't know if I seem like a gear guy, but I'm not very good at that world. I know we got to track it live. We recorded at the studio in LA, and it had a really cool like old school feeling to just the process. We were just in a big live room, and we all just like played along together, and it felt very like we were in California in the 70s, just tracking like live in Sunset Sound Studio. But other than that, I that probably sounds like I'm trying to like weirdly avoid that question, but I don't
know. No. I honestly appreciate the honesty. No, that's chill.
I've just gotten my ass kicked so many times in conversations trying to act like I know what I'm talking about with gear.
It's not worth it. No. Yeah, sure. So how many people were playing on the song?
That was just me and the three piece, or me and like my band, which I still feel weird saying, but my guys from Nashville came out and play on that one. And then we overdubbed some stuff, but yeah, it was just the three of us in the room and like a really fun, it was very laid back to how we usually play as well. So it was like a really cool experience to just like play a song, you know. It felt very like we were a band for a little bit, and it was a cool moment to like click into feeling like a studio band. And that song I think came out very like, we were really influenced by like Jackson Browne kind of like old school recording with that, of just being very like, let's bop into the studio and lay one down, boys. Like it was very like, you know, like very laid back.
Yeah. Can you tell me about the road trip for the video?
Oh, yes, I would love that. Well, okay, the Deep Sea Diver one was, we were mostly in town. We took a couple drives. Yeah, we were around Nashville for most of it. The freeway video, we did take a really long road trip to Maine, and that was insane. That was like so much fun. Yeah, that one I've been really stoked to record because we'd had that song for a while, and like we tried to record it one other time. When we recorded our first EP, it was like, or the most recent EP, the Miracle EP, we tried to record Freeway and it didn't work. We just like couldn't get it to click. And then I brought it to John, and he like totally instantly had this vision of it being this like acoustic, really like ambient kind of softer thing than what we'd had it. I always thought it was going to be like a really punky song, but he gave it this like really sweet little guitar melody that's like very, very much feels like me. And yeah, so that one was kind of pieced together. We played it as a band, but then like the guitar stuff and like the melodies was like a very personal, just like feeling it and laying down really simple, pretty guitar stuff.
So what is next for you?
Right now we are just kind of hanging out and stockpiling new videos and stuff for the release of the record, which will be next year. But yeah, I'm just trying to stay healthy, stay active in the community here as safely as we can. And yeah, we'll be putting out more music and more videos and stuff within the next couple months, and record by top of next year.
Wonderful. Well, I can't wait to hear it and
Thank
see
you,
more
man.
Videos.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Yeah. Where can people find you?
Kirsten Maroney on Instagram, Twitter. I don't ever use Twitter. It stresses me out, but Instagram's cool. You can find me having a cup of coffee on your street corner, hanging out. Just kidding. That's not true.
I've never seen you there, but I'll take a look.
Yeah, I go really early. I like to catch the sunrise when I'm walking around the neighborhoods, just staying high to the neighbors.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Everyone, go check out his two brand new songs. One's called Freeway. The other one is called Deep Sea Diver. Find him on all listening platforms. But yeah, Briston Maroney, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I will talk to you guys next week.